Well, please do keep your Bibles open at James chapter 4. I'll give you those page numbers if you weren't able to turn there in time. In the red Bibles, you'll find that on page 855. And in the blue Bibles, you'll find that on page 1218. 1218. It'll be really good for you to keep that open in front of you so that you can see that I'm not sucking this out of my thumb and that this is actually what God says to each one of us. Let's ask for God's help, shall we? Heavenly Father, we ask that as we come to your word now, you'd give us receptive hearts, that you'd give us living hearts, warm hearts, hearts ready to receive what you have to say to us. And we pray that as we hear you speaking to us, Lord God, that you would cause us to repent of our sin and to trust in your word. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we begin this new sermon series entitled Resolving Everyday Conflict, and this will be just a five-part sermon series that will complement our third-term life group's study. Conflict is a reality that we're frequently faced with, isn't it? But we seldom handle it well. Even in the church, we often deal with conflict poorly. We make it worse by pretending that it doesn't exist or just by dealing with it clumsily. So in order to learn how to resolve everyday conflict, we're going to investigate what the Bible teaches us about, firstly, the causes of conflict, secondly, responding to sin, thirdly, confession of sin, fourthly, approaching an offender, and lastly, forgiveness of sin. That's what's going to occupy us for the next 5 weeks. And so let's begin today with the causes of conflict. When my brother and I were growing up, we inherited a stack of educational children's magazines from our cousins who were about 10 years older than us. Those magazines were imported from the UK, and even though they were a bit old, they fascinated us. The magazines were called Look and Learn, and they were published from 1962 to 1982. And one of the sections that I loved in Look and Learn was the section called How Does It Work? It was always towards the back of the magazine. How Does It Work would show an illustration of the inside of a machine and then explain what caused that machine to work. And even though I was sometimes too young to even understand the explanation, I always enjoyed looking at that cutaway revealing the workings of the machine. Well, one of the ways we can understand and so prevent conflict is by looking at a cross-section of conflict in the Bible and learning the causes of conflict. So let's turn this morning to James chapter 4 to see what God teaches us. James is writing to a persecuted church, a suffering church. But in this section of his letter, James is not addressing conflict from without, but he's addressing conflict within the church. And James identifies four causes of conflict: our desires, our adultery, our adversary, and our judgmentalism. So let's look at those one by one. Firstly, conflict is caused by our desires. We see this in chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. At the bottom of it all, conflict is caused by desire. I want something. I want something good or I want something bad. I think I deserve it. I have a right to it. And I must have it. I want a romantic marriage. I want a peaceful church. I want an obedient child. I want a satisfying job. I want a quiet evening. But I cannot have what I want. I cannot have it because someone else wants something different, or someone else has what I want. So that, of course, brings tension between me and the other person. But I must have it, whatever it is. So I'll attack the other person who wants something different, or I'll steal from the person who has what I want. If I attack the other person, it might be a verbal attack, or it might be a physical attack. The attack might be to the person's face or around the person's back. And if I steal what belongs to the other, I might steal a garden tool. I might steal their spouse. I might steal their influence, or I might even steal their joy. The reason I may not have what I want could be that I've not asked God, though. God is our loving Father. And as any father, he longs to give us good gifts. But we're slow to rely on him, and we're very quick to rely on ourselves instead. Of course, I might not have asked God for what I want because I know that I won't get the answer I want. I know God won't give me someone else's spouse. I know God won't give me more of the inheritance than is my portion. I know God won't give me the plant that belongs to my neighbor, however much I love it. Or maybe I have asked God, but I've not received what I asked for. That's because I've asked for the wrong reason. I've asked for no other reason than my selfish desire. I want to indulge my own pleasures. The reason I want leadership over this ministry in the church is so that we can do things my way. The reason I want a new car is so that people will think highly of me. Or the reason I want that job is so that I can secure an early retirement for myself. Well, we can all dream, can't we? Conflict is caused by our desires. Secondly, conflict is caused by our adultery. We see this in chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. Imagine a married man walking in on his spouse in bed with another person. What a horrific discovery. What an awful betrayal. That's the reality of adultery, isn't it? But why are we talking about adultery? Well, just as having someone as your spouse requires an exclusive covenant to the exclusion of all others, so does having a relationship with the Lord as your God. In the Old Testament, the Lord is described as the husband of his people Israel. And Israel worshiping other gods is described as adultery. So James is referring here, of course, to spiritual adultery. James is referring to unfaithfulness to God, not unfaithfulness to my spouse. And James extends this imagery when he tells us that friendship with the world makes us enemies with God. The world does not refer, let's get this clear, the world does not refer to creation. And the world doesn't even refer here to all people. The world, in this context in which James uses it, refers to the values that are opposed to God. The values that are opposed to God. Well, just as choosing a lover in place of my spouse makes me an adulterer, choosing a lifestyle in opposition to God, that makes me an adulterer as well. So what does friendship with the world look like? Friendship with the world is trusting anything other than God to make me happy, fulfilled, or secure. Trusting anything other than God to make me happy, fulfilled, or secure. I might rely on my children to make me happy. My children become my God. So when my children start disappointing me, I start quarreling with them, trying to put them right. I want my children to make me happy. Or I might rely on my work to fulfill me. My work becomes my God. So when I discover a colleague can do my work better than me, well, I create conflict trying to protect my work because I rely on my work to fulfill me. Or I might rely on my appearance to give me a sense of security. My appearance becomes my God. And so when a hairdresser lets me down and does a hack job, I throw a tantrum, trying to restore my appearance, trying to fix this problem, because it is my appearance that gives me a sense of security. The problem with all of that is that I'm only meant to find my happiness, fulfillment, and security in God. And the reason for that is because only God can give me that happiness, fulfillment, and security. He's the only one who can fulfill those needs. When I rely on anything other than God, my children, my work, my appearance, whatever it might be, I will not be fulfilled. And so I become a spiritual adulterer. And that's what causes conflict. Conflict is caused by our adultery. Conflict is caused by our desires. That's what we saw at the start. And thirdly, conflict is caused by our enemy. This we can see very clearly in verses 7 to 10. Now, the word Satan means adversary or enemy. The enemy is the description given to the spiritual being known as the devil. And we know very little about the devil. But we do know that he's a creature who rebelled against the Creator and that he's opposed to God and God's people. Now, in this section, James calls God's people to resist the devil in order to avoid conflict. In other words, our enemy contributes to the conflict in our lives. But the wonderful thing is, if the Holy Spirit tells God's people to resist the devil, that also means that it's possible for us to stand against our enemy. We're not helpless against our enemy, are we? We can oppose him. In fact, James tells us that if we stand against the devil, he will leave us. He will leave us. If we want to avoid conflict in Raft Anglican Church and in our other relationships, then we need to oppose our adversary. But how do we do that? Well, it's not through engaging in some man-made spiritual warfare mumbo-jumbo. We resist our enemy, James says, by drawing close to God. We resist our enemy by drawing close to God. So how do I draw close to God? Well, James answers that quite clearly, that we draw close to God by humbling ourselves before God. Humbling ourselves before God does not mean groveling before some sadistic tyrant. Humbling ourselves before God means acknowledging our unworthiness before the goodness and glory of God. Acknowledging our unworthiness before the goodness and glory of God. So to humble ourselves before God, we need to recognize our sinfulness, our fighting and our quarreling. And we need to turn from that behavior and live for God. To humble ourselves before God, we need to admit, James says, our double-mindedness. In other words, our trusting in other gods rather than the one true and living God. And we need to put our trust in Him. Those are the very causes of marital conflict. Those are the causes of family conflict, of conflict with our neighbors, with other church members, with our work colleagues, of all conflict. If we really, really want to bring an end to conflict in our lives, then that's what's required. We need to ask God to reveal our selfishness and our double-mindedness and give us strength to confess these sins. And the great promise is that if we draw close to God, He'll draw close to us. In fact, James says, not only will He draw close to us, but if we humble ourselves before God and confess our sins, He'll lift us up, He'll honor us, He'll help us. Conflict is caused by our enemy, conflict is caused by our adultery, and conflict is caused by our desires. And so to finish, conflict is caused by our judgmentalism. That's found in verses 11 and 12, the concluding verses. Excuse me. An inevitable spin-off, I think, of our selfish desires and coveting, of our fighting and quarreling, is judgmentalism. What do we mean by judgmentalism? Well, judgmentalism assumes a critical view of other people. So we jump to conclusions about the motives of the other person, and we assume the worst of that other person. And what that leads to inevitably is slander. Because of our critical stance, we speak poorly of other people. We paint them black in the company of others because we've already judged and sentenced them. So judgmentalism compounds the conflict. When people learn how we've been talking about them, they understandably take offense, and frequently this makes any kind of conflict resolution even harder. Firstly, judgmentalism compounds the conflict. Secondly, judgmentalism compounds our sin. When we've already indulged in selfish desires and coveting, judgmentalism then just adds to those. Not only are we judging others, but James tells us we're judging God's law. Now, how can that be? Well, God's law forbids judging others, doesn't it? So when you or I judge others, we sit in judgment of God's law. In other words, we question the goodness of God's law when we judge other people. We call God's law bad when we judge other people. And the problem is that when we challenge God's law, well, we're challenging God Himself. God alone has the right to name good and evil because God is the Creator. And because God is the Creator, He also has the right to save and condemn whoever He pleases. He is the judge of all He has created. So how arrogant do I have to be to challenge God? Brothers and sisters, we have to stop talking badly about one another. We have to stop criticizing, and we have to stop bad-mouthing one another. We have to stop, in other words, judging God's law and judging God, because if we don't, we will be disciplined by God. I'm not keeping up with my own notes, am I? There we go. Conflict is caused by judgmentalism. Conflict is caused by our enemy. It's caused by our adultery, and it's caused by our desires. Well, I don't know if you spotted it, but there's something in common with all four of those points. It's us. We cause conflict. It's our desires, adultery, enemy, and our judgmentalism. And of course, we're not responsible for the activity of the devil. That goes without saying, I would hope. And we're also not responsible for people bringing conflict into our lives. That's quite clear. But the point is still made strongly, isn't it? James tells us we can avoid conflict if we'll just turn our focus on our own contribution. We are the point in common. And so, let's do that. Let's turn the focus on ourselves. Let's look at our own contribution to the conflict in our lives. I'm going to give us a moment now. You might want to close your eyes. You might not want to close your eyes. But just to think back on these 4 points that James gives us, and to reflect on the conflict in your own life, and maybe take the opportunity to be honest with God and do some business with God. Let's take a moment or two. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the teaching that we have in James' letter. We thank you that in chapter 4 he clearly shows us that we are the common element in so much of the conflict that we are a part of. That we might not make the entire contribution, but we make a major contribution. And so, Father, we have to confess that it is our desires, our selfish desires, that it is our adultery, our double-mindedness when it comes to you, that it is our failure to resist our enemy, the devil, and it is our judgmentalism of others that contribute and cause conflict in our lives. Father, give us repentance, we pray. Help us to turn from this. We know the damage that conflict causes, and we want to be living a life that is pleasing to you and a life that is fulfilling for us. So we make this request in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, may I invite the music team to come to the front. And as always, we take the opportunity now to respond to God in song. It's also an opportunity for us to bring our offering, although we do encourage you to contribute through banking methods or electronic methods. Now is an opportunity, if you don't do so, to bring your offering to God. Let's stand and let's sing together, "Refine us, fire, purify my heart."